The time in Kenya had its ups and its downs, but the Lord did use me. And some of the things that I've been preaching here for the last 14 and a half years are those things that I was preaching there in Kenya. And today I'm going to bring back to you a message that I was preaching last Sunday there in Kenya on love and forgiveness. How it's actually two sides of the same coin. How many of you, you know, heard that faith and works? You know, two sides of the same coin. You know, I'll show you my faith through my works. And some people say, you know, my works are because of my faith. And when we look at Scripture, we see that they are bound together. That faith without works just doesn't work. And if you have faith, you have to have works. Well, the same is true with the combination of love and forgiveness. We're going to look at these two. And side one of the coin is to love one another. And we see this in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And in this passage here, it talks about the Last Supper and what's going on. In John, and in that, John communicates to us what Jesus did that evening. And one of the things that he did was give us a command that we are to love one another. And a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that's the command. Well, I'm going to look at three C's here. The context of the command itself, and then the confirmation. Okay? Now, first we're going to go to the context. The context is the Last Supper. What's happening there is, well, we just had communion. And Jesus is getting ready for what's going to be happening that evening, which is his ultimate betrayal and then crucifixion. But nobody else knows this. But Jesus does. So that's the context. The context, we're going to read this in John 13, starting with the 31st verse. It says, "When John had gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come.'" Now, jumping forward to verse 36, this is Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Before we move any farther, I'm just going to take a moment and pray. Father God, as we come right now and we look at these scriptures, we look at the passages, as we look at your word here this morning, we just pray your Holy Spirit is present. Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit to reveal yourself through your word this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear you speak to each one of us here. We want to know how we can love and how we can forgive as you instruct us here in your word. As these are things that we must do, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is all taking place during the Last Supper. How did the Last Supper turn out? How did it start off, even, is by Jesus just shocking the disciples to the core of their being by serving them. Now, it's traditional when you come in to have a slave or a servant, or if not that person, the person of the least social stature, to wash the feet of the guests who've come. And now Jesus, who is the Rabbi, who is the Son of God in the flesh, he took off his outer garment, he got down on the floor, and he washed the feet of each of the disciples, then dried them with his garment. This is the glory of God in action. And people weren't getting it. They weren't understanding. This is God showing his love and his glory. He showed them how to serve in a way that they needed to, but which they just hadn't gotten before. That no matter what it was that needed to be done, true love required that it be done. If that's what was necessary. And this is God's glory. This is indeed God's glory. God's glory being manifested in Jesus cleaning the disciples' feet. And then, as he serves communion, you know, one of the people that he'd washed the feet of was Judas. And the last one to whom he served communion to was Judas, the one who betrayed him. And Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he told him to go ahead and do what you're going to do. Immediately before we move into these passages that we've read. Following this, well, Jesus goes to the garden and prays. And there he's arrested. He's tortured and crucified. This is the example of God's glory and God's love in action. Love in action. Because Jesus goes to the cross. He tells Peter and the rest of the disciples that you can't follow me now, but you will later. Well, they're all confused. And this is what's going on both sides of this command that Jesus gives. Because this is the stage setting for the command. Where Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love one another. Now, you all here have heard me preach this a couple times a year for 14 years. You know, love is selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person. Jesus exhibited all these things for the disciples. As he commanded them to do it, first he showed them how. Then he gave them the command, then he continued to show them how that love is lived out. What does it look like? And that indeed is God's glory. God, Jesus in the flesh, was selfless, loyal, and benevolent towards us. Jesus had no need personally to go to the cross. None. He didn't need to do that for himself. There was no personal benefit to him at all. The benefit is 100% in mine and your favor and in everybody else who received Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's who was blessed through this. Jesus went to the cross anyway. Now, he could have stopped it at any time. He could have just spoken a word and they'd been removed. Called in the angels of heaven. They would have done it for him had he so requested. But he didn't even need to do that. But yet he subjected himself to it. Why? Because you and I need a Savior. Because the Father in heaven said, this is my plan. And this is what I want you to do. And Jesus submitted himself to the Father. And did it. He showed us that indeed love is selfless. It is loyal. It is benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Now this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not good advice. It's not a recommendation. It's not a good idea. This is literally a command of God. A new command I give you. He couldn't be more clear. A new command. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus showed us how to love. Showed us how. And he said, this is not an option. And he didn't tell us that, do it if it is all possible. Some would say, oh, it's just not possible. No, it is possible. God wouldn't command us to do something that is impossible. It may not be easy. We may require the Holy Spirit within us to do it, but it is not impossible. It is a command. It is something that we must do. No options. This is what God has called us to do. Jesus demonstrated what love looked like, and we are to imitate and emulate Him. This starts in our relationship with one another here in the church, the one another's. Because that's where we get the confirmation that we are following the command of Jesus. In verse 35, it says, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. It's not miracles that are going to, people are going to point to say, aha, you're a follower of Jesus, you do those miracles. It's not going to be that we have wealth or power. Aha, you have wealth and power, you must be a follower of Jesus. No, those aren't the things that people are going to say, aha, you're a follower of Jesus. What it is by our love one for another. That means I'm going to put your needs before my needs. That means I'm going to stick with you, do what's best for you, whether you like it or not. Whether you were nice to me or not, I'm still going to do what's best. And I am going to do what's best for you, benevolent. Not necessarily what I want. Not even necessarily what you want, but I'm going to do what's best for you. If I love you. You know what God's going to do for us? He's done what's best for us. The people didn't want a Savior. They wanted a king. They were yelling, Hosanna, as Jesus is coming in on the colt of a donkey. They were praising Him, welcoming Him as the King of the Jews. That's what they wanted, a political Savior. But God knew that that's not what we needed. We needed the Savior of our soul. So He sent Jesus to die on the cross. That's not what they wanted. But that's what Jesus did. By this, everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the confirmation that we are followers of Jesus. People are going to recognize that we're Christians. That is followers, disciples of Christ. If we actually have love one for another. This is the confirmation to the world. The world will be able to see it. They can see how we interact with one another. Are you truly loving towards each other? In the church, we eat our wounded. Anybody here ever been hurt by somebody else in the church? And if you don't have your hand up, you're lying. If you've been in the church, you've been with people. People hurt each other. We hurt each other. That's what happens. But in the church, we often go beyond that. We see some ministry that's failing and we go chase them down and we tear them apart. Some minister had a moral failing. Oh, everything that he's ever done must be bad. No, it's not. But we decide that now we need to destroy him totally. Where do we get this? It's not from God. It's not from God. Confirmation to other disciples. If I'm loving towards you, and you're loving towards me, then that's confirmation to you that I'm also a disciple. but it's also a confirmation to ourselves. You know, if I'm loving others, that is my confirmation that yes, I am a follower of Jesus. That's what's required of me, to love, to have that selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for another person. Now, this is something that we must do if we're true followers of Christ, and we must do what Jesus did. We must love one another. There will be times when we fail, but through the Holy Spirit we can and will love one another. And this love one for another will draw the lost to Christ for God's glory. God's love in us will shine as God's glory. Now there's a second side of the coin. Forgive as you have been forgiven. In Matthew 12, or Matthew 6, verse 12, we have the Lord's Prayer, and in there it says, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." We see forgiveness there as conditional on us forgiving. You see, the power of forgiveness is real. In fact, it may well be the greatest force on earth. The enemy thinks that the greatest power on earth is retaliation. If he can get us retaliating towards one another, that he wants us to get legalistic. Go eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Go Old Testament. I'm going to go Old Testament on him. Anybody ever hear that one? Everybody ever say that one? You know? We think that we get to get even. Or better yet, anybody hear this nice wisdom of man? Do unto others before they do unto you? Yeah. Well, here what we see is that the other side of that coin of love is forgiveness. See, the Lord says that the greatest power on earth is actually forgiveness. Is it or is it not forgiveness that we received through Jesus Christ's work on the cross? Yes? How do we get that forgiveness? Through the love of Christ for us and for God, and that He obeyed God. And He loved us enough to go to the cross. Love and forgiveness, same side, two sides, same coin. If we truly love, we must forgive. If we truly forgive, we will love. In Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, we see it reads this. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is the only part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus felt that He had to immediately reinforce. He just had said this back in verse 12, and now He's done with the prayer. He said, "When I want you to pray, pray this." And then, when it's all done, He gives them this lesson. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins." These aren't my words, these are Jesus' words. I'm not the one telling you that there's a condition on you being forgiven. Jesus is. And what's He telling us that the condition on our forgiveness is? In forgiving others. We need to forgive. Well, that's kind of a interesting thing, because we're often confused about what things are. You know, a lot of times we think love is all about the physical. I didn't go into it here because I've taught it enough times that you all should know that love is that decision, that commitment to be selfless, loyal, and benevolent towards one another. But what truly is forgiveness? Well, first let's look at what it is not. Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. Okay, if you lop off my arm, I'm not going to go Monty Python and go, "Oh, no, it's but a scratch." You know. No, you took off an arm. That's serious. Let's not minimize the injury. Okay? It's not excusing the offense. So we're not saying, "Well, it's not your fault. You know, I shouldn't have moved my arm in the way of you swinging your sword." You know, excuse me? Um, Anybody here ever excuse somebody else's misbehavior? No. That's not forgiveness. Giving an excuse isn't forgiveness. It's not denying the hurt. You know, y'all know I've got three sons. And, you know, roughhousing and playing with the boys when I was younger, there was a couple of times there where, as they started growing up, all of a sudden some of the things that they did hurt. But I was dad. I was a tough guy. I couldn't admit that I was actually hurt. Nope, that didn't hurt. Nope. Ah! You know, nope, no pain. That's not forgiveness. Denying that there's anything wrong, that there is no hurt, that is not forgiveness either. And just so that we can clear, it's not subjecting yourself to continued abuse. That is not forgiveness, that is stupidity. Let me be clear, allowing yourself to stay in an environment where you are continually being hurt is stupid. Don't do it. Leave. Okay, that's not forgiving. So what is forgiving? Again, it's not merely that emotional response. What it is indeed a decision. Forgiveness is. It is giving up the right to get even. That's forgiveness. You eye for eye, tooth for tooth? Uh-uh. You hurt me? I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to give up my right to get even. I have a right to get even. Jesus teaches, the Word teaches us that. However, we're told to forgive anyways. So even though I have the right, I'm going to lay it down. Give it up. Walk away from it. You're saying, I will not hurt you for hurting me. You hurt me, yes, but I'm not going to hurt you in response. I will not retaliate. It's a decision of the will. It's not a feeling. I don't feel like forgiving them right now. Tough. That's not anywhere in the prayer or in God's teachings on it. That you feel like it. No. We're told to do it. Forgive. See, this very act makes us like Christ. It is indeed a decision of the will that makes us Christ-like. It is voluntarily putting down our weapons of anger, vengeance, and retaliation. It's a voluntary action. You cannot be forced to forgive. You know, as parents, we try to do this for kids. Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, right. No. We have to voluntarily do it. Now we can lead them to the point where they do say it on their own and they do actually recognize it. As parents, we can do that, but we can't force it on anybody. It's something that somebody does voluntarily. Jesus forgave in Luke 23:34. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What's happening at this point in time? Well, he's just crucified. He's on the cross dying. And his response isn't, Father, get them! His response is, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. This is what we are called to do. Stephen, the disciple Stephen, he did this was he was being stoned for having preached the gospel. He then fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. These are examples for what we're to do. Why do we forgive? Well, because God first forgave us, right? And Jesus tells us to forgive. We also do it because it assists us in getting answered prayer. Check that one out. That's Mark 11, 24 through 25. I don't have time to go to all these, but just want to run through them. It makes us like Jesus. It cleanses us from our sins. For if you forgive people their sin when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We've read that. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you their sins. And it releases others. If you do not forgive anyone's sin, their sins... If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Okay. So how do we forgive? First, admit your pain to the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit that you've been hurt. Take it to God. Jesus is the solution. If you have a problem, Jesus is always the answer. Okay? It's a simple one, but we often forget it. We keep trying to look at the problem to find the answer, and the answer isn't in the problem, the answer is in Jesus. Okay? So when we have a problem, we want to admit our pain. We have somebody that we need to forgive. First, we need to admit that they're in pain. We need to take it to God. Second, we make a decision to obey Christ and forgive the offense. It is a decision of the will. I am going to do this. Third, we give up our right to be angry or to get even. Four, we ask God to forgive others. God, forgive them. Okay, five, we pray blessing on them for those who have sinned against us. I'm not saying God bless them, I'm saying I bless you. If I'm forgiving you, I must bless you. To truly forgive you, I need to bless you. Then I ask God to bless you. And seven, the last one here is receive the healing and grace and deliverance from God. It comes from this. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I've got a take-home assignment for you. I want you to go home, take out a full sheet of paper, take your time in this. On the first side, I want you to write out all your sins against God. Be specific. Write in small print. Trust me, you'll still fill up the sheet of paper. And just start writing out the sins that you have committed against God. And keep writing. Take your time until God says you're done. You filled up that side. God says you're done writing that. Turn it over. Now I want you to write the names of every person who has sinned against you. Each person who has hurt you. Write their name. You're going to find there's a lot of people there that you love. Oh, yes, that's right. I'm supposed to love all of you. You're going to write down the names of each person who has hurt you. Then, when you've completed that, take that sheet of paper to someplace safe, fireplace or something like that. Burn it. Symbolically showing you that the sins are gone. They've been consumed by God and His forgiveness. Just gone. See, when we forgive, those hurts are gone. It no longer has control over us. People, love and forgiveness are two sides of the same coin. If we truly love one another, we must forgive. And if I forgive you, I am behaving in a loving fashion towards you. These are the commands that God has given us. Us, the church, the body of Christ. That's why when people look at us, they see us loving one another. That's God's glory. Because people see it and they want it. Because God did that for us and we're reflecting God's glory back to Him. He loved us and He forgave us first, and we need to do the same to each other. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to love and to forgive. Lord, help us to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved. Lord, might we indeed be recognized as Your disciples because of our love one for another, because we do indeed forgive and love as You have commanded. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.